I'm looking at a picture someone posted online of an old service station now being used as a church. Across the front, there's a sign that says, "The Shepherd's Chapel." Still remaining near the entrance door, a small old sign that says, "We fix flats." It's probably not as inappropriate as it first looks. There's far too much in this world that is deflating. The news is deflating. Stress has become a national epidemic, the primary cause of mental health concerns. We need something to lift the soul, not let it down. There's enough drag on this planet already. Now, I'd say there's no doubt that somewhere this week you have seen the deflated, the desperate that needs to be fixed. The devastation is all around us, but it's into this world that Christ calls his followers to bring hope, to inject inspiration into a generation that is woefully weary of it all. Yet we see among God's people sometimes a lot of worry, of fret, of anxiety. Nothing has furnished a theme for more songs and sermons about the Christian journey than the 40-year trek of the Israeli refugees across the desert. And no illustration from that story is more profound than the constant taunting of Satan, who had them badgered and worried and scared silly. He fed them a diet of giants and walls, and they took the bait. They imagined trouble all the time. They were crossing bridges before they got to rivers. And what's worse, it became their undoing. Now there's an option for you and for me when we avail of it. The peace of God that passes all understanding, the Bible says, will guard your mind. And no, it's not blind, cheap, positive energy. It rests in the promise and integrity of a God who never fails. And that you'll find in today's message by Pastor Fred Penny that he's titled, "God's Antidote for Anxiety." It's the old story again. There's no better song to sing than "Like a River Glorious is God's Perfect Peace."
Deeper on.
Now, there's no question there is a practical side. Concern does come. What about my future? Will I be able to make a living? Will I make ends meet? In sickness, then, often questions pound even harder. Will my frail resources be too soon exhausted? Will there be provision as I age and retire? Worry and anxiety attacks most of us. We become conscious of threat. You need to listen to those words as the worship team leads us. All is well. Native American story tells of a young boy who was sent into the woods alone on an autumn night to prove his courage. Soon the sky darkened and sounds of night filled the air. Trees creaked and groaned, an owl screeched, a coyote howled. Even though he was frightened, the boy remained in the woods all night as a test of required courage. Finally, morning came. And he saw a solitary figure nearby. It was his grandfather, who had been watching over him all night long. Friend, the night may be long, the sounds may be eerie and frightening, but God has promised to be present with those whose trust is in Jesus. And no matter how dark the night, the unseen God is ready to respond. If you've trusted in Jesus, you're never out of his care. Thank you. Worry and anxiety is an abrasive. It burrows within. It undermines health and confidence. I don't want it for my children. You don't want it for yours, and God doesn't want it for His children. So what is my option? What do I do? Stay tuned for the message now. Pastor Fred Penny speaks on God's Antidote for Anxiety. Your radio pastor, Pastor Fred Penny.
Well, good morning, Radio Church. It's time for another chapter in the old, old story, the story that never gets old, the story of Jesus Christ and His amazing love for us. Today, I want to talk to you about the antidote for anxiety, how to overcome anxiety in our busy, stressful world. Recently, Amazon released a list of the most highlighted Bible passages, and you might expect the favorite Bible passage to be John 3:16 or maybe Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer. But instead, it was a passage from Philippians chapter 4 that says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What a beautiful word of hope and encouragement today. Patrick Smith is a commercial airline pilot. He noticed that the number one anxiety source for travelers is turbulence. It seems so very dangerous, but in fact, it's no big deal at all. Turbulence cannot flip a plane upside down or throw it into a tailspin. These conditions may be annoying and uncomfortable, but the plane is safe. It's not going to crash because of turbulence. Turbulence is normal. And from a pilot's perspective, it's merely an inconvenience, not an issue of safety. People are worried about their coffee spilling. That's the most you have to worry about when it comes to turbulence. But yet we do worry. We are people who are really good at worrying. Worrying seems to come natural to us. Some of us are very good at it. Someone once said that worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it gets us nowhere. Medically speaking, researchers have now confirmed a link between stress and sickness. A hormone has been discovered called NPY. This hormone is released into the body during times of emotional stress. And this hormone actually undermines the body's immune system, and it can contribute to you becoming sick. Have you ever wondered what the Bible says about worry or anxiety? Let me read the text in a little larger section. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, says Paul, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. How do we overcome anxiety when it's so easy to fall into worry and anxiety? Now, as the Apostle Paul writes this letter, in fact, he finds himself in prison for preaching the gospel. And if anyone had a reason to be anxious and fearful, it would be Paul. But in fact, as he writes this letter, he is anything but fearful or worried. He is full of hope, full of the peace of God, and full of joy. He says here in verse 4 that we can overcome anxiety, or we can attack anxiety, by rejoicing in the Lord. What an interesting phrase this is. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, and then he adds, always, no matter what the circumstance. Paul is talking here about a starting point and a center of how we live our lives. You may be familiar with the phrase, pray without ceasing. Well, here I think the Apostle Paul is saying something very similar. He is saying, praise without ceasing. Praise God without ceasing. Live a life of worship. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how difficult and challenging life may be, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. Rejoice that our hope and our future is in the hands of the Lord. And so we rejoice in Him. We don't always rejoice in our circumstances, but we do rejoice in the Lord, knowing Him and being loved by Him. And this, Paul says, we should do always, no matter what the circumstance. When we rejoice in the Lord, we will be able to see other things with a better perspective and more balance. Focus on who God is and who we are in relation to God. How do we do this? How do we rejoice in the Lord always? Well, first of all, I would say sing. Sing hymns and choruses that praise and exalt the Lord. Secondly, words of spoken praise. You can use that phrase, praise the Lord. You can say hallelujah. You can find ways to put spoken praise in your lips, in your speech, day by day. Do this frequently, says Paul. Don't do it because of the circumstances, but do it because of who God is. So, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. This is one of the keys to overcoming anxiety and worry. Secondly, Paul says we can overcome anxiety with a life of gentleness. And Paul hastens to add now this phrase, the Lord is near. A life of gentleness is a characteristic of being near to the Lord. We think of teddy bears as gentle, or we think of camels or horses or maybe elephants. These are gentle creatures. In human terms, a gentle person is someone who isn't easily threatened or intimidated, someone who is secure in who they are and knows their identity in Christ. Do you know your identity in Christ? Once you do, and once you fix that in your heart and mind, it will bring to you a life of peace and gentleness, and you will realize that the Lord is near. He's near to you, and He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The opposite, of course, to gentleness is aggression and anger. And who wants to live that way? In fact, Paul goes further in Galatians and he says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will grow within us, the people of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And one of these fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. Gentleness speaks of inner peace and contentment based on the nearness of God. Thirdly, Paul says here, we can alleviate anxiety by just giving it over to God. Here in verse 6, Paul says, present your needs to God. He says, don't be anxious about them, but by prayer and petition and with a thankful heart, present your requests to God. It's okay to admit your anxiety, but then present it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Paul says here now, do not be anxious. This doesn't mean deny your anxiety. It means to admit your anxiety, but choose another way. Choose God's way, to trust in him, that he will take care of you. Jesus said this as well in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, do not worry. Notice how forceful that statement is. Jesus says, do not worry. It's not a recommendation. It's really a command. And it also indicates that we have a choice. Who knew? Yes, you and I have a choice. We can choose to worry and be anxious, or we can choose to give our anxiety to God in prayer and petition. Sometimes anxiety will just overcome us because of a tragedy or a challenging situation. And we're all human, and so sometimes we do fall into anxiety. But Paul says now, present it to the Lord. We don't have to live in a continual state of anxiety. Process your anxiety in a healthy way by giving it to the Lord. Now, if you have a problem that's mental illness, emotional imbalance, perhaps depression, this is a unique situation. And if there's clinical depression, a prescription drug can help you to think clearly and control your thoughts. A good friend of mine, Dr. Grant Mullen, who lives in Ontario, has helped many people understand that if we are suffering from a clinical depression or a chemical imbalance, a prescription drug correctly administered is the way to go. And you can talk to Dr. Grant Mullen or visit his website, drgrantmullen.com, and you'll find many helpful resources there to help with your emotional health. Number four, Paul tells us here we can alleviate anxiety by practicing thanksgiving. Paul says, don't be anxious, be prayerful, and be thankful. We have challenges in life. Some of them are easy to identify. We need a job or we need coffee. But many of our needs are more complex. I'm looking for direction in my life. I'm wondering what my life is about. Where do I find meaning and purpose in life? Well, the Lord will help us as we are thankful and we present our needs to him with a thankful heart. He will guide us and he will show us the way forward. Healing often happens in community. It happens in relationship. To be a part of a local church where you have fellowship with God's people is a big part of dealing with your anxiety in a way that is thankful, in a way that is healthy, and there's support from the family of God. Number five, Paul tells us, alleviate anxiety with a new way of thinking. Paul here in verse 9 says we need to have a renewed mind. And he says, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good and noble and excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, some of us, we can think in a negative way. We can think about the worst case scenario, and we can go to extreme positions and get all worked up with worry and stress. But Paul says here, this is very, very helpful and very, very important. He says, think about that which is excellent and praiseworthy. Think about that which is good and honorable. And so there's a positive attitude that we need to practice, a new way of thinking that is based on who we are in Christ and that God is still on the throne and he loves us. You see, God's answer to anxiety is peace. He talks about that here in verse 7, and he says, the God of peace will be with you. It's a promise. It's a promise that God gives us. He doesn't want us to live in stress and anxiety. He wants us to walk in his peace. Listen to these words from Matthew 11. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the opposite of anxiety is not apathy. It's not an I don't care attitude. The opposite of anxiety is peace. Peace that comes from God. And so let's put this into practice this week. Let's take this passage and let's turn it into a prayer. And let's realize that we have choices to make. We can choose to worry, or by the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can choose to walk in peace and not be stressed out. But we can, as Paul tells us, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can choose gentleness. We can decide by the grace of God to not be anxious. We can have an attitude of thankfulness in all that we do, and we admit and present our requests to God. And as we do these things, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. Let me read that last verse again, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, what is excellent and praiseworthy, Paul says, now, think about these things. Don't think on the negative, but think on the noble and the true and the right. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
You've been tuned to the old story. How much would your life change if worry and anxiety was immediately lifted today? We've heard the truth. God wants to garrison your mind, friend. Worry will attack you. You'll live under constant fear of threat. And God knows what it can do to you, soul, mind, and body. Now, you won't argue with this. Brilliant living is far better than brilliant thinking. I may not be as astute and as argumentative as the skeptic, but I can enjoy what he would love to enjoy if he had the advantage of the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's real. Oh, yes, it is. Ask someone who knows. Now, we have someone on the prayer lines while this broadcast is on air to take your request. 579-9678. Call us now and we'll pray with you and pray you through this today. Join us anytime for the services here at Kenmount Road at 10 in the morning and 6 p.m. each Sunday. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're without God and without hope in this world, the Bible says. Unforgiven, uncleansed is enough to give you something to be anxious about, to worry about. You have a future that doesn't look good. But if this moment you commit your way to Him, accept the blood of Christ as the antidote for your sin, this is what will happen. You will become a new creature. Old things will go and the new will come, and it can happen now. Ivan Butler reminding you again, the storehouse of heaven belongs to you. It's open 24/7, dispensing grace for every need, that even in the trial that may be ahead of you this week, that would seem to drag you to the teeth of hell, you'll be fine if you never waver in this truth that His grace will still be sufficient for you.
Hey, that old story.